This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Enters the zone, Ranton waits, Deeks, Deeks again, scores! Mikko Ranton makes it a two-goal lead for the Stars.
49 seconds. Not really. It was like 10:49, but 49 seconds of actual game clock after the kick secures the Dallas Stars 5-2 win yesterday at the AAC. They're up 2-1 over Winnipeg. Good morning, Metroplex. We're celebrating here on Sean and RJ. Bobby Belt out sick. Probably back tomorrow here on DFW Sports Station. Mikko with his ninth goal of the postseason, and the Jets have now lost their last eight road games, and that was part of RJ's two rants, one on the day game and one on, what are they calling them now on social media? Hella suck?
Hella suck, loser buck, whatever you want, but he is an epic loser. Epic loser. First of all, Mikko is on such a heater, and it's great to see, and it's great to have, like, somebody that is on your team doing this. It's what, obviously you never want it on the team you're playing, but even when, if you were just a casual hockey fan, let's say you're a Chicago fan, right? It doesn't have the same appeal. It's like, whoa, that's really cool. But when it's somebody that you're following, this is one of those runs, you know, if the Stars do go on to win the cup, this is one of those runs that you remember for the rest of your life as a fan. And it's great. And it's one of those runs that gets your number retired. Like, it really is that cool.
Yes.
But Hellebuck, you know, I posted a video of him during the anthem. You know, and they're playing O Canada. You represent Canada. I know you're an American. I know he's an American goalie, but he represents the Winnipeg Jets. That's Canada. And there's Selena Ray out there doing her job, singing the Canadian anthem, O Canada, beautiful song.
Tolo Amy said she did a fantastic job.
She did. Great job on it. And here's Hellebuck. Warming up. Juke it back and forth like, I'm trying to make a save here. It's like, dude, it's a 90-second song. Give it a minute. When the songs are over, do that. I mean, you're doing your eye thing, your stupid eye thing, and then you're going back and forth with your hands. Like you're like you're getting ready to do, what was the drill we did in basketball where you would slide before the coach until you go right and then go left? You're sliding, you're shuffling your feet right and left. I mean, that's what he's doing out there. It's like, God, do you have no respect at all? You're just a disgrace. You're a tryhard. You know what you are? And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget this. This is why I couldn't stand A-Rod. And I knew he was a fraud from the moment I saw him when he came over here. You go to the game, all right? And every player does this, but they don't do it the way A-Rod did it. A-Rod would hit a double. He would get to second base. Most every other player in the history of the sport would stand on the bag, turn and look at the outfielders and just see where they're positioned. But they would just do it. They would just turn and do it. And A-Rod would go and he would look at him and he would point at him and count him just to show everybody in the stands,
yes,
I'm smart and I'm looking at the outfielders. Yep. All right, I could see right through that. I knew he was a fraud. And I could see right through this with Hellebuck. All right, we all know you're good, man. All right, you don't need to be sitting there when you know the camera's going to be on you and everybody else just standing during the anthem and do your little warm-up routine. All right, it's a try-hard. It's try-hard stuff.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious, the video that you posted.
And everyone knows that, like,
Everyone!
Like, Americans, we're all about patriotism in the anthem. You should respect the other nation's anthem then. So that bothered me.
Okay.
All right. And then the second thing, I think the Stars got screwed here, even though they won. You can't have a playoff game during the day. All right? Now, it's great for us.
You want at 8 o'clock?
It's great for us, the viewers at home. It's great for morning radio.
Yes.
But I do think it's a disservice to the home team. Name the great crowds in sports. We always point at, like, the Phillies crowd was always great. The old Yankee Stadium crowds were always great. They were always playing at night. You know, we never mentioned great crowds at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The great crowds are at night when everybody is lubed up.
Let me throw this in as a possible factor. Does it change if it's indoors? I know you have less time to pregame and drink throughout the entire day, but people are not happy that the Knicks had game three during the day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, have it at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. You're going to be more revved up. I wonder if it's different inside during the day than outside with the sun versus the night.
Well, maybe. Yeah, it might be. But, like, also, still, though, I mean, you could even tell. That crowd was really, really good. It was not nearly as good as some of the as the Colorado as the crowds they played when they were playing Colorado at home. You know, game seven, game five was electric. Game five of Colorado was such it popped through the TV screen. It popped through the screen. I just felt the home team, when you play a day game, they play a day game on Mother's Day. It was a holiday. You know, Winnipeg is getting night games. Everyone's liquored up. And you know, we're getting a Mother's Day crowd. So it was a bummer for that. I think the Stars got screwed a little bit. But they come away with a win, so it doesn't matter.
Got the W. So there it is, RJ Choppy with his hockey rants after they take the 2-1 series lead in Game 4 tomorrow, 7 o'clock at the AAC. Let's get to some Cavs.
The very least, Marcus needs to move him to third. And he might do more than that as he cranks one to deep left field. This one's got a shot, and it's gone. He moved the runner, a couple of bases, and himself as well. His third home run of the season is a two-run shot that gives Texas a 2-0 lead.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not? Especially when the sticks are this big. 16 runs over the final two games of the series. They had four homers in the first three innings on Saturday, three solo shots. You know, it's hard. You hit four home runs, you only have five runs on the board. You know, doesn't happen that often, but man, it did in this one. And they needed it on Saturday. DeGrom was good, but he wasn't like vintage DeGrom. You know, he was at 52 pitches through three. Getting to the six was going to be a challenge. But the amount of, I mean, he was dominant in those five innings. To get 10 strikeouts in five innings, and you go look at and
are we not talking about him enough?
Because Evaldi's pitching so well, yes.
Because
he's
Mally.
Doing and Mally, right? And then the offense, the lack of offense, has really taken a lot of the attention away. But to have 10 strikeouts in five innings is really solid. And it wasn't like these were like 8-pitch strikeouts. He was mowing these guys down. I think he had 5 strikeouts on 4 pitches or less. All right.
It was
insane. Like, but with a high strikeout total, it is going to increase your pitch count a little bit. And he did in the first three innings, like I said, have 52 pitches. That's a lot. So you already, when you already have a guy who's coming off a second Tommy John, you are going to be a little bit, you know, more cautious with him. But so smartly, you know, years ago, I think Jake was heading out for the sixth inning. In today's game, that just wasn't happening. I really love Lankford in the two hole. Sandler and I think he said that he liked him as a leadoff. He only let off a couple games. I think this is when you were out. And he is really good there. But we didn't hate it. But he's played 28 of the team's games at either the two or the three hole, and there is no doubt he's hitting .317 in the two hole.
Whew.
He's barely hitting over 200 in the three hole. Now, that doesn't mean anything. It's a small sample size. We're looking at, you know, 28 games total. It's like 16 and. You know, 12 or whatever. But, you know, the way analytics has shown that the two hole is where they want their best hitter. And I do think that, you know, this is we're getting there where this is he's the best hitter. And that this is about to be his team. He seems very comfortable in the two spot. So
going to be his team over Seager.
I mean, I think at the end of this year, by the end of this year, it is.
Wow.
I think so. Because, you know, Seager is getting older. He is starting, he's not old. But, you know, Wyatt's approaching his prime and Wyatt is, there's no doubt. I mean, look, the way where he was picked, the expectations he had coming in. And now he's going to get the chance to feast on Colorado Rocky players.
By the way, Sandler said Seager's continuing to deal with hamstring tightness. Mm-hmm. It flared up a bit, so he was not playing the other day. They will continue to evaluate. But, I mean, he had a big game over the weekend. As he sat there with two bombs. So the injuries just can't go away.
They can't. It's been something of a knock on his career. Yeah. That's it's just the reality of it. He has dealt with injuries. And basically every year here, he's dealt with them as well. But the Rockies come to town, and they, of the 7 wins in their first 40-game Rockies, they are 5 games off the White Sox pace from last year, which means they're 5 games worse.
5 games worse?
The White Sox were 12-28, and this Rockies team is 7-33. They have 2 players hitting over 250. They have 2 players whose OPS is over 750.
2 over 250?
2, that's it. They have 1 player who has more than 20 hits on the year. We're 40 games in. They've got one. They play in Coors Field, Sean. They played Coors Field. They have one guy with 6 home runs.
Are you embarrassed?
Their best starter's ERA is 4.75. Then it's 5.77, 6.41, 7.77, and 8.27. They just fired Bud Black. Bud Black.
One day after losing by 21 to the Padres.
Yeah.
21.
They lost 21 zip.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for my phone. Because I took a picture of the TV screen.
Oh, okay.
I took a picture of the TV screen. The Rockies in 2017 and 2018. Now, they went to the playoffs these years. They had Charlie Blackman. They had Trevor Story. They had Nolan Arenado. They had Cargo.
Yeah.
They had a good team, right? They had 2 winning seasons, 2 playoff appearances, and a 5.48 winning percentage. Since then, their winning percentage is 4.03. No winning seasons. They've lost back-to-back 100 loss seasons, and they're going to have another one this year. They're awful.
Outscored by 128 runs this year. The only team since 1900 with a worse run differential through 40 games was the 23 Athletics. At minus 144.
Yeah, they're so bad. They're so bad. And the GM, after they lose 21 zip, the GM's like, vote of confidence. And then I think what happened is the owner came down and was like, no, someone's got to go. Someone's got to go. Because the GM knew, smartly, I believe, this ain't Bud Black's fault.
Right.
We gave him a crap team because they were doing, they were going with a youth movement. They were going with a youth movement, right? Which is code for cheap. But, that's what they were trying to do, and this isn't Bud Black's fault. But listen, I get it. It's about putting butts in the seats.
6 home runs as the team leader.
6 home runs.
Average 288 from Hunter Goodman, the catcher. Mm. That's where they're at. Wow, I didn't think someone was going to top the White Sox recently.
We're not only are they topping them, they are blowing right by, Derek Shelton. He also has been let go by the Pirates. They started 12-16 under him. And
Skeens was cold-blooded. They're asking him about it. He's like, someone had to go.
I know.
I was like, damn, son.
Someone had to go. It's a bad start. But the problem is the Rockies, the Pirates, they always stink. The Marlins, they always stink. And it's a disservice to the game. Spend some money. Let's go. The Pirates have had, they've never had, since this, in Shelton's time, they never had a payroll in the top 25 of the sport.
What?
They've always been 26 or higher in all the time that Shelton had been there. What do you want them to do?
Let's look at the American League West. Seattle is up by 2 games over the Astros and the Athletics. Athletics are 1 game over 500. The Rangers are 3 games back in 4th place, 1 game under. And Wash's Angels, after the nice start, they have plummeted 16-23. They are 6 games back. The Yankees lead the East by 2 over the Massholes. Detroit leads the Central by 2.5 over the Guardians and the Royals. The Mets lead the East by 1.5 over the Phils. The Cubs lead the Cardinals by 1 game. Dodgers, Padres, Giants got a fun race in the National League West. The Dodgers are 13 games over, and they're 1 game up on the Padres. That's it.
Padres are solid. They're a really, really good team.
7-3 in their last 10.
Yep. They've got stars. They have star power, and they got a really quality team. Anyway, those are the 2 things you want from an ownership standpoint. You want to be able to win, and you want reason to come out of the ballpark to watch stars.
Bobby Belt is sick, but listening, I know that because I think he's in a little bit of fear that Peyton could take over his brand new segment.
Oh, baby.
Let's see if Pepe can handle new Music Mondays. Plus, is Giannis about to get traded? And where the Mavericks going to draft tonight? All of that. Loaded Monday edition with Sean and RJ next.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
It's over in Denver. The Thunder have reclaimed home court advantage in this best-of-seven Western Conference semifinal series, doing it with grit, gall, resilience and tenacity from eight down in the fourth quarter. They strike big late, 29-18. They outscore the Nuggets in the fourth to win game for 92-87.
That series is tied at two. Minnesota leads the Stephless Warriors 2-1. Rick Carlisle and the Pacers were up 41 points at halftime over the number one seed Cavs. Indiana is up 3-1, a game four tonight at the Garden after the Celtics went in, finally hit their threes. New York still leads Boston 2-1. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and RJ with you here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Bobby Belt out sick today. We will get back to football at 8:40, and Peyton is going to try to take over Bobby's new segment here, New Music Monday, in just a second. But the breaking news from Shams is that Giannis open to exploring another option. And RJ, this is going to hurt all over again.
Yes, because we could have potentially paired up. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Luka with Giannis.
It's going to hurt for me because of the compensation package. That's why it's going to hurt. True. You got a 6-year difference. Giannis is 30. Luka is 24. And they're going to get back probably more in that deal.
Yep. Because they're not going to try to do this covertly in the middle of the night. Like they're the Baltimore Colts leaving with that Mayflower van.
Yes. Deals that could happen. The Ringer came up with 7 dream Giannis trades. And by the way, I'm happy for this. I'm not one of these, go to Milwaukee, make them a relevant market. I didn't care about the Cavaliers this year. Part of that had to do with the market. I'm just being honest about it. We should cover them as just great teams like Oklahoma City Thunder. The Dame thing did not work. It's like Dame's legacy has been hurt more by going to Milwaukee versus having less of a chance by himself in Portland. The Ringer threw out Orlando as a possibility. Atlanta, Detroit, Houston, OKC, San Antonio, Indiana. There are people that keep whispering about the Spurs and Giannis trying to make something happen. You know that Nico is desperate, and everyone thinks he's going to try to make a play for Kevin Durant.
Dude, if the Spurs get him, holy cow.
Right?
Yikes. I mean, That would be a dream. That would be like the ultimate dream scenario for like to pair two bigs together.
Twin Towers 2.0.
I mean, that would be something. That'd be interesting to see, because you'd be kind of going away from the league. You know, the league obviously is now they are perimeter players. They can play on the perimeter, but you know, the league is not like, hey, let's get big guys all over the place. This is not the reality of the league, but that would be pretty wild to see.
Meanwhile, tonight, I always like this. I always like the NBA draft lottery. Mm-hmm. The Dallas Mavericks right now are projected to have pick 11. All right? So, Cooper Flagg to Utah?
The three teams have
The same percent chance. The Wizards, the Hornets, and the Jazz.
They all have
14% chance.
Yeah. And then you're down to New Orleans at 12.5, and then Philadelphia at 10.5. Those are the only teams with a 10% chance or higher. Now, the top three teams, Utah, Washington, and Charlotte, have a 52% chance to stay in the top four. So every other flip, they'll be outside.
Two kids from Rutgers?
Yeah, Rutgers. One of them is Ron Harper's kid.
Yeah, Dylan.
Yeah. They couldn't even make the tournament.
They got, like, Tankathon has them with the number 2 and 3 pick.
Yeah, they made the tournament. They're terrible.
What the hell? And then VJ from Baylor projected to go number 4. You got a Longhorn projected to go number 5. This is with some mock draft. Yeah. So two Dukies. Yep. So you got Texas, the state of Texas, three Blue Devils.
Yeah.
Really? And then two Rutgers, whatever they are. What are they? The Rutgers
Scarlet Knights.
The Scarlet Knights dominating the top 6 or 7 of this mock draft.
Yeah, Edgecombe had a good year. And then Trey Johnson, we talked about him around the tournament, that he was you know, if Texas were to advance, he was going to be the best player on the floor in just about every game. Like, he's really, really good. But yeah, like, it's funny. You're going to see in the top 10, probably seven guys that are off of three teams total.
Would you take Cooper Flag one?
Yeah, I don't know how you wouldn't. He was really awesome this year. Like, he was the player, the moment Jahni Broom went down with an injury and missed a couple of games, it was pretty much set that Cooper was going to win the player of the year.
Where should we want him to go? By the way, the Mavericks, I don't think, have ever moved up.
They never moved. I don't think they have. I don't think they've ever moved up in the draft. It's only been down or stagnant.
Where should we want Cooper to go? Utah, D.C., Charlotte, or New Orleans?
You know, that'd be interesting with Utah. That'd be interesting.
Are we going to pay attention? That's what I'm probably trying not to figure out.
I mean, we're not going to pay attention to any of the teams, really, that right. He goes to. We don't pay attention to the Wizards or the Hornets or New Orleans.
Right.
Now, Philadelphia, people would pay attention to that.
God, I hope that doesn't happen. I want them to rot. I want Daryl Morey to rot, Embiid to rot, all of it. Paul George, yeah, all of it to crumble.
Where we don't want him to go is San Antonio. Because they could be dangerous then. They could be a dangerous team.
They're going to be dangerous.
Yeah, they are. But like
they got the rookie of the year. They got Fox and they got Wimby already.
Yeah, they could be really dangerous.
So draft lottery tonight. Right now, Mavs projected at 11, and Wimby trade rumors have picked up. All right, Bobby's out, but he created a new segment for Monday Music Lovers. Let's see if Pepe can handle it.
I'm Casey Kasem. Coming up next are the three biggest hits of the year.
That's right. New Music Monday is a new segment we debuted last week. I was not here for it, but I heard it went pretty well. We'll do it every Monday at 8:20 in the morning. We'll play some of the new releases in the music world, and then we'll vote on which ones we liked or disliked. How did last week's go? Was it good? Did you get a bunch of reviews? I was not here. I was at jury duty, the canceled jury duty. But yeah, I heard I heard some good things about it.
It did. It went well.
Two out of three songs we really liked, so let's see if we can keep it going.
All right, this first one, we'll stick to country. Morgan Wallen, RJ is a big fan of him. He's someone that I think I need to go see in concert. I need to stick to the country concerts.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that price.
Good luck. It's like $500, man.
Well, that's why we have Odyssey people here to hold it down. So, or I'll try. But yeah, this is one of Morgan Wallen's new releases, Superman. Now me and that bottle's my crib tonight. Brings a man to steal down.
Not my favorite. You know, I expect more from him. He's on top of the world, or he has been. I expect more from him. So I don't know. Maybe he needs to go back to prison.
He's on top of his bar
and sink some more. Yeah, maybe that's why he got the name Superman. He was like, he was testing it out when he threw the chair over the wall, see if this thing could fly. Yeah, it'll probably catch on, and it'll probably be catchy after like the fifth time I hear it.
Yeah,
but if we're just judging this off the first, you know. He's got a lot better in his catalog.
At Ava's first rodeo, as Amanda dubbed it, with the birthday over the weekend, I put on just a Morgan Wallen playlist, and I did find myself like for like four or five straight songs. I'm like, hey, this is kind of just like the same thing. He's got his rock star hits, don't get me wrong. But then I was like, okay, I thought I was going to get deeper into this, still loving it, and I changed the playlist.
Well, the way is because of his voice.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs do kind of
sound the same.
Yeah, because his voice is so unique. It's got that rasp to it, right? So a lot of the songs will run together. But he also, like, he could sing, like, so fast with some of the lyrics, and that's why, like, I think he does a really good job with the collabs.
Plus, subconsciously, I'm rooting against him, so I didn't want to like it, and I don't want to like that. And I don't love that song, so 0 for 1.
All right, bad start here for Pepe in the morning. All right, this next one, The Weeknd.
It's not your fault, Pepe. Oh.
Yeah. Well, Morgan I picked the songs, I guess. So I guess maybe they are, because Bobby gives me a list of all these songs. Like, all right, just pick three of them, and we'll play them. But next up, The Weeknd. We play a bunch of their music here. I think they just performed not too long ago at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. But The Weeknd and Playboi Carti came out with a new song called Timeless. Come and get chick, ice on my neck. I'm on a wrist, she in the sky. Hell of a cat, push her the church, throwing it back. Yeah, I'm spinning in Paris. That's for these. They finna just for fun.
feel like this should be a song you're dancing to right now, Choppy.
Should be.
Why isn't it?
I'm trying to listen to it.
Oh.
I like. Yeah, I like The Weeknd a lot.
Yeah.
It's better than the Morgan song, I think.
It's really good. I like it. I like it. I think Alec saw them in person not too long ago. I think he was the one that told me. He's like, "Oh, dude, The Weeknd's great in person."
I'm eh.
Yeah?
I'm eh on it.
Oh no,
I like.
I feel
it.
Like this is a song I need to hear more of. Maybe.
Yeah. Look, I think that's a good by the pool song.
I just can't figure it out. I'm like, where are we going with this? Like, but that's like a lot of the. I'm in the maze. I'm
yeah,
in the
you're
mirror.
In the maze.
I'm in the mirror. I'm in the mirrors.
Yeah, the Weeknd.
The Weeknd's
words
got a good like catchy. Kind of chorus to it.
Yeah, they got a lot of great music. I mean, I mean they're one of our bed musics for Best and Worst of the Weeknd, Starboy. That's the bed music that plays there. So they got a bunch of really good songs there. But yeah, that's one of their newest songs with Playboi Carti, Timeless out there on Spotify or wherever. All right, last one here. We go back to country. Parker McCollum has a new song, Big Sky.
I like this the best of the three.
Mm. Yeah. Parker's at his best, though, when he's singing about, like, he's pouring his heart out, singing about all the girls that dumped him.
Like, that's he like, get dumped a lot?
I don't know. He's a good-looking guy. I mean, I'd date him for crying out loud. I mean, he's a snack for crying out loud. Yeah, God, he's a great-looking dude. But, yeah, it's like he's at his best when he's, like, pouring his heart out.
Yeah.
Is he the male Taylor Swift?
He has, like, some of his better songs are very simpy.
Okay, I see him. He is good looking.
Simple. Yeah. Yeah. He's a good looking dude.
Hey, man, don't agree so fast, so quickly. Aiden was laughing in the back. I'm going with Parker McCollum, but I like that the most of the three. That's me.
Yeah,
right now.
I agree. I think the Weeknd song like has the best catchy chorus to it, but the Parker song is the best.
You know, I'll be different than you two. I'll go The Weeknd as my favorite song of the three.
All right, so that's it. New Music Monday without Roberto, but Pepe holding it down as he will with his brand new segment tomorrow at 8:20 here on Sean and RJ. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan, thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Man, someone looks like they got to Shador Sanders in order to try to figure it out. Has RJ fallen for the newest Cleveland Brown quarterback? The early reports of what he did over the weekend and the breaking news. The Dallas Cowboys going to Filthy for the opener Thursday night football to begin the season. We have it in below the belt right here on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
The great Bobby Belt. RJ Choppy here. I'm back, baby!
I watch more football than you do. Below the Belt. Not officially taking place today because Bobby is out sick. It's Sean and RJ with you here to kick off the week. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, the home of the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, Cowboys, Eagles, the breaking news from 2 hours ago to start off the next NFL season Thursday night in Filthy. Well, let's talk about a rookie quarterback starting off his career in Cleveland. There's a couple of them.
There are. Dylan Gabriel getting first team reps, and Shador Sanders shining. They're saying shining.
Well, it's very important to describe who's saying it. In my opinion, if it's Mary Kay Cabot, I trust her. There's this guy, Tony Grossi, who's
been there forever.
I don't know. Is he trustworthy? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know enough about the ins, the outs of Cleveland Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, he sounds sketchy. I remember him in my mind in the past just being like, all right, let's not believe this guy 100% of the time. But here's what he said. It was in the team drills and 7-on-7s that you could really see the difference between Gabriel and Shador. Gabriel seemed to be more assertive, more decisive in the dropbacks. This is where I start rolling my eyes. And certainly his passes had a little more torque on them than Shador, and Gabriel was tremendously accurate. Shador was not inaccurate. He gets the ball there. He can layer the ball, even if it's not a perfect spiral. That's just the way he throws the football. If you didn't know who either player was, you'd think number five, Gabriel, looked the better of the two.
I have no idea what what is a layered throw?
That's why I roll my eyes.
How do you judge how much torque is?
How decisive are you in your drop back?
How torque? I've never heard somebody describe a football being thrown as, boy, he's got a lot of torque on that one.
He showed more enthusiasm for receiving the snap.
Yeah. So, okay. That's one thing. I am falling smitten. A little smitten. Not full smitten.
All
little
right. Spitten, little all smitten. Right. All right.
For Shador. Because
you know who endorsed them?
No. Oh. No. Oh. No. He was the last one off the field. He was the last one off the field with practice. He stayed after. He was running up hills. He was running hills.
I saw that.
See? You just hear the things he's saying, you know, like in this clip that you won't be able to hear this because he's smiling. But
he looks like a little boy out there too.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a man. He looks like a little boy, and he has done a nice job. Opening weekend, I don't think he could have done a better PR job.
Yeah, better PR job, you're right. But he talked about getting hatred at a young age from a lot of the people out there on social media. I thought, now listen, there was a big smile on his face when he was answering this. He kept looking at the reporters, right? He kept looking at it. He wasn't just like kind of staring out in the space. He looked like he was actually paying attention to the question and looked like he was taking interest in this.
99% of hatred is, you know, towards Pops. And then I'm just his son. So it really just comes from that. And I told him that too. But, you know, it just comes from him. But then, you know, they didn't grow up in an era to where, you know, they watched him play. So they don't have anything too much negative, whether they say flashy, this, that. Like, this the older generation that do it to me rather than the younger people. Because when I come in person, there's no negativity I see, but it's all over online. So that's why I say I like going in person and actually meeting them. And any questions they have, I say, just ask me whatever question you want. Pick any question. No filter, no anything.
I know.
One second, I got you. But, yeah, that's what they say. And then I just answer whatever they need me to answer. But the most question they asked me was just, like, how is it mentally going through all this? And I just told them it's just like playing quarterback, so I can't be fazed by it.
Yeah, I thought it was a good answer.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good answer. And then the, hang on, I'll get you. I'll get right to you. You know, that showed like he was in control. You know, little things like that. It's like, this is my interview. This is my press conference. I'm in charge.
But what Mel Kiper refused to understand was what Kevin Stefanski had to deal with after the practice ended.
Mm-hmm.
He got peppered.
Yeah.
He got lit up.
And they weren't about the guy who was getting first team reps, I bet.
Yeah, they're like, why did Dylan Gabriel throw before Shador? I don't know. He was picked before him.
Yeah.
First off, don't ask me a stupid question. I'm not going to answer stupid questions like that. That's what I would have said out there. But this is not going to stop. It is not going to stop. And that's what Kiper did not get.
Right.
If you did not believe he was a stud starter, is this worth it
exactly
in your backup?
That's your question. That's the question that you had to answer.
That's the argument that Quinn Ewers' agent tried to make on the show with us last week.
And look, I think there's some fairness to it. The level of star would be different. You know, what is Quinn versus Shador versus Gabriel versus any other player that Tyler Shuck, you know, you draft Tyler Shuck, nobody knows who that is. You know, college football fans know the majority of the people are like, who's this Schoff guy?
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean? So it's like when you're going to draft somebody like Shador, he's got the name. First of all, he's got the first name that everybody, he's one of these players that could just go by their first name.
Yep.
It's a unique first name. He's also got the last name. Everybody knows the Sanders family in football. He's got, you know, obviously he has the all-world Heisman Trophy teammate. He was the most famous player in college football, arguably. And then he's got the famous dad. So this was never going to be somebody who could slide in here and blend in with the furniture. That's not Shador Sanders. That's not Shador. He also was asked about getting an endorsement from the president when the president tweeted the night of the draft, who are these idiots not taking Shador, yada, yada, yada. Like, he's just like his dad. His dad was a great player. He'll be a great player. Somebody pick him. And he talked about that.
I was truly thankful for it. including him. There was a lot of fans, a lot of people in barbershops, a lot of hairstylists. There was a lot of just fans, you know, of me and of my craft and of my family that was there to support. So I was just thankful that I have that foundation. Overall, just as people, and we all could come together as one.
Comes across very chill.
He does. You have to be unfazed to play quarterback, and he comes across as relatively unfazed. You know, like he could have handled the prank call much worse.
Oh,
he could have handled the prank call like a. He could have lost his mind.
Well, he's getting ready for his $1 million party that got thrown afterwards with all the celebrities.
Yeah, and so he didn't. He didn't lose his mind. So. I think, you know, PR-wise, ever since, you know, he's gone from the everybody thinks is entitled to kind of a sympathetic figure you know, now somebody who is just trying to go about their day.
Meanwhile, Jerry Jones talking to the Cowboys rookies, Tyler Booker at the Stars game, getting the entire crowd hyped, making me fall even more in love with him sitting there in the first row of the AAC. People thought the Cowboys were not going to face the Eagles to start the season. They thought that Jerry leaked that it was the Giants to open when he was addressing the Cowboy rookies at practice.
How much this is about right now for you. Every drill, every practice is about right now, because the biggest mistake I've ever seen any players make in your shoes is they thought, well, we'll get it done this next month, we'll get it done next year, whatever. This is an urgent son of a gun here. Now then, be smart about where we go from here. Take advantage of the best, I promise you, that I can find anywhere in the world to coach you. That's this staff sitting right here. That's these people sitting right here. Personally, as well as a organization, as a team, we need you to be smart and come in here and dig and go for it and get it out so we can line up against the Giants with you. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
And you're doing it for all of us when you do it. Congratulations on being a Dallas Cowboy. Yes, proud of you. Proud, very proud of you. Put your name on that script of being a great Cowboy and a great NFL player. Looking forward to get to knowing you individually.
As Clarence Hill asked, why is he focused on the Giants and not the Eagles?
Not the Eagles.
And they're like, oh, you're opening up against the Giants again. But no, we're opening up against the Eagles on that Thursday. But for some reason, Jerry had the Giants in his mind.
When do you think the team knows they find out? When do you think Jerry and the team found out they were playing that Thursday game?
No idea.
Like this morning?
No.
Yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Before today. I don't know what you're talking about. So that's Jerry addressing the troops. Derek Carr leaves Kellen Moore without a veteran quarterback. Now what are the Saints going to do? Derek Carr retires.
Well, they could, A, stick with Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler, right? They could do that. That's option one. Option two, they could go get Kirk Cousins on a trade. Although, is Atlanta going to trade Kirk to their... That's their biggest rival, Atlanta, New Orleans. That's their biggest rival. Are they going to sign Aaron Rodgers? This may be the best thing for Rodgers. I mean, like, if he wanted to be in Pittsburgh, would he not already be there by now? That's kind of what I'm thinking, right?
Right.
So maybe they go and get Aaron Rodgers. Or this sets it up, baby. This sets it up.
Trey Lance.
Tanking for Arch.
Oh.
There is no more perfect setup. And the New Orleans Saints, Arch's hometown.
Oh.
Getting the number one pick in the draft. You know. Archie did what he did with Eli. There was the old story that Parcells told it, that Archie wanted Peyton to play for Parcells with the Jets. And he wanted Bill to commit, like, hey, would you take him number one? Because the Jets had the number one pick that year. And they took Keyshawn. And he said, I can't make that promise because the NFL gets on you about that.
Who was their quarterback?
The Jets?
Like, Parcells never gets killed for... Wait. The Jets didn't have the number one pick the year Peyton came out.
No, the year before.
Oh.
So he was going to leave early.
Oh.
So Archie was like, I'll have him come out, but you got to guarantee me you're going to take him number one.
Yeah.
And Bill was like, the NFL really gets on us about that. They don't like that. They don't like us doing that, so I'm not going to promise you.
I don't know if I buy that story.
I don't know. I do either. I think Bill talked about that in one of those 30 for 30 things. Because
if that's true, that's an all-time stupid Parcells move.
I mean, you would think. Yeah, it would be an all-time stupid. I don't know who their quarterback was back then. But so, you know, like that, I'm sure Archie would have a conversation with Mickey Loomis. Hey, you know, if you guys are the number one pick, yeah, we'll have Arch come out. That's his hometown. Like, the family would come full circle.
Vinny.
In 96, they had Vinny, or 97? 98. They had Vinny. I think that was Vinny's first year there, though, so I don't remember who the quarterback was. It may have been, like, Neil O'Donnell after he went to Pittsburgh.
So, tanking up for Arch.
Tanking for Arch, baby. Tanking for Arch.
You know, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised, but I am surprised.
Abysmal for Arch.
Abysmal for Arch. I'm surprised, but not surprised by the amount of Arch hype. Leader for the Heisman, based upon what you saw last year, Peyton. I mean, if you had the option of Quinn coming back, I think you said that you would have preferred Quinn.
Yeah, because Quinn's been there. He's done that. He's led them the back-to-back semifinals, back-to-back at conference championships. He knew the offense. He knew Sark better. I mean, and Arch, I mean, sure, the potential is there. You know, you see all the ratings and how high he was coming out of high school. You know, long-term, obviously, Arch. But, like,
yeah.
Arch is only, he didn't start, you know, against UTSA, Colorado State. You know, he didn't start against big-time schools or play really. He played a little bit of the A&M game, but, you know, that was just coming in red zone offense there. But, no, you know, you didn't really have a lot of Arch back then. So, I don't know. I mean, I would have gone Quinn, though, if he came back one more year.
Just a ton of assuming, leaping him at the top of the Heisman boards, number one pick in the draft, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't see that amount of hype realized and met in his limited action last year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was limited. And, like, you know, he got against – what did he play against? It wasn't UTEP. It was Texas State or something like that. He had a – I don't know. But, like, yeah, I didn't see a ton of it. But you could see also that there's a reason that this guy – I mean, he is different. He's not built like any of the other Mannings. I mean, the guy can run. The guy can run like the wind. And none of the Mannings ever have been accused of being a fleet of foot. By the way, the Jets did have the number one pick that year. They traded it. They traded out of the one in 97. So they traded back. They traded from 1 to 8. They took James Ferrier at 8. Number one that year, Orlando Pace.
Ooh. B-Lo.
D-Bell.
Every day at this time, with or without Roberto, who is hopefully back tomorrow from the sickness here on your home of the Cowboys. The kick heard round the Metroplex. Have the Dallas Stars up 2-1. Let's celebrate it next on Sean and RJ.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.